From Mimeo Field at Harry Grove Stadium, this is Unlocking the Keys with JJ Myhouseke.
Hey Keys fans, here we are on the fourth edition of Unlocking the Keys. We have a lot of exciting content coming up for you today. Dwayne Marshall, pitcher for the Frederick Keys, joins us as our main guest this afternoon. So we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Frederick Keys and how they've been doing so far. The best game of the season to date was on May 29th against Mahoning Valley out in Ohio. It was a cold game, just 46 degrees. Alex Ulloa in that game had two doubles, a triple, and two RBI. Anthony Heron Jr. and Rene Lastres both went deep over the left field wall. The Keys so far this season have not really had too many long balls, but when they have, they've hit it far. Dominique Colley this season has been one of the best Frederick Keys hitters. He ends the homestand against Mahoning Valley, hitting over 300 on the season. He swiped six through Saturday's contest, and Dominique Colley has had his contract extended now. He started the season on a temporary contract. Now he will be here for the rest of the season up until the MLB draft because he has done so well and has been really catching some names. Joining us now on the podcast is going to be Liam Kissinger to talk a little bit about promotions and everything coming up in the next 2 weekends right here at Mimeo Field. So let's head to the on-deck circle. Here we are on Unlocking the Keys. Liam Kissinger joins us now on the podcast to talk a little bit about the upcoming promotions, first against the Mahoning Valley Scrappers this upcoming weekend, and then about the Trenton Thunder promotions on Father's Day weekend. Liam, how are you doing so far today?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to all these promotions coming up here at Mimeo Field. I'm really excited to see all the fans out here. We have a lot of growing numbers coming in as the season's going along.
Well, Liam, you mentioned Mimeo. They are our main sponsor for this Friday night against Mahoning Valley. What do we have on the table ready for this weekend?
So we have a jersey giveaway. It's a Ryan Mountcastle jersey. We're giving it away to the first 1,000 fans that come out to the stadium on Friday, June 11th. And that is sponsored by Mimeo. And they are also sponsoring the fireworks for that night. So a firework night and a giveaway. Can't have a funner Friday night here at Mimeo Field.
And then on Saturday, it is Superhero Day. We're going to have some fun here at the park. Fans are encouraged to dress up, I hear.
Yes, we're going to have some of our staff in costume. And anyone that's in costume gets to do a parade out on the field before the game. I think it's going to be a great day, and we can't wait to see everyone's superhero costumes. I know I'm going to be dressed up and ready to go.
Any idea what you're going to dress up as?
Probably Wolverine.
Okay. All right. Good pick there. All right. So then moving on to Father's Day weekend against the Trenton Thunder. They're in town for the first time this season, and Frederick is going to be hosting a special weekend all weekend long for Father's Day. What are some of the fun events that we have planned there?
Oh, my gosh. We have quite a jam-packed weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. And first, we're starting off with Art in the Park, sponsored by the Frederick Arts Council. And that night, aside from their sponsorship, they are also doing a specialty jersey. And that is going to be available for auction starting the Monday before the game is to take place. And that will end the night of the game. And we're going to wear those on field, of course, and people can bid on all of our players' jerseys.
And those jerseys designed by Luce Merlin, a local artist here in Frederick. And then what else do we have coming up on Saturday night and into Sunday for dads who want to come to the park with their kids?
So Saturday we have a little bit different than the past years. Precision Heating and Cooling is going to be still going with that duck theme, but instead of a duck giveaway, we're going to be doing a duck mask. So just keep that COVID safe, and you know, they're really thinking about us out there. And then following into Sunday, we have our Father's Day. We encourage everyone to come out and celebrate Father's Day with us. If you're looking for a little bit extra magic though, we do have a specialty package that comes with a specialty Keys beer stein, a voucher for a 16 ounce domestic pitcher, two reserve tickets, and just a lot more fun. And also, it includes four donuts sponsored by Krispy Kreme.
Well, we are very excited to have fans back in the stands here at Mimeo Field this year. Thanks for popping on the podcast. I'm looking forward to all that coming up at the park. If you're interested in getting a ticket, you can visit frederickkeys.com or call the box office at 301-815-9939. Liam's going to be leaving us here on Unlocking the Keys, but don't go anywhere. Dwayne Marshall joins us next, player from the Frederick Keys. All right, Keys fans, we now welcome in Dwayne Marshall, pitcher for the Frederick Keys, into our fourth episode now of Unlocking the Keys. Dwayne, how are you doing so far this season?
I'm good. Appreciate it. I'm good.
Appreciate you coming on the show. Well, you are a product from Piscataway, New Jersey. You attended University of Maryland Eastern Shore and also Felician University. But looking at your childhood, what was it like for you to grow up in Piscataway?
Piscataway is a very diverse community, so there's a lot of different people. Just on my street alone, there's a bunch of different ethnicities and races. And I feel like it just keeps me to be open and accepting different cultures. And so it was a good experience being a PUA.
Growing up in Little League then, I mean, you mentioned the diversity. Was the Little League in your area really diverse?
Yeah, it was. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get to play Little League too long. My dad wanted me to jump up to a higher, play with like guys older than me. So I played like 2 years in Little League. But yeah, it was fun. I just loved getting like concessions and stuff, hanging out with my friends.
So looking at your travel ball that you played, was it difficult growing up in New Jersey? Like, was it difficult moving around? Obviously, it's very it's a much higher competition in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and that area than some other parts of the country.
I think just starting at a young age, like playing with guys older, helped me with the competition. Traveling wasn't too bad. My dad pretty much drove me everywhere. I mean, we've been everywhere from New Jersey to New York, Connecticut, all the way down to Florida. And he's pretty much driven the whole time, so it wasn't too bad.
You mentioned your dad a lot. Is he your role model when it comes to baseball? Has he really taught you the game and taught you how to love it?
Yeah, my dad definitely is the person who introduced me to baseball, taught me to respect the game, always hustle. He's my role model in a way. He didn't really play. My uncle played, so he's kind of my role model as far as playing wise, but learning the game is definitely something I always learned from my dad, speaking to him. So.
Was there someone that, you mentioned your uncle, but was there someone that you modeled your game after growing up, like a specific player that you latched onto that you now have kind of mocked your pitching motion off of, or how you bat the plate when you do come up to bat?
Well, starting off, I was a two-way, so I played shortstop.
Okay.
And I wanted to be like Derek Jeter. I have like probably 20 pictures of fat heads of him in my room. So I always wanted to be like Jeter, tried to swing like him. And then I realized like there's a bunch of kids playing short, so they threw me in the outfield. And like my dad, he showed me Willie Mays. I didn't know who he was. And then I tried to model him. I changed my number 24 all the time, and I always tried to make like big catches in the outfield. But then after high school, I started to focus more on pitching. And I think Mariano Rivera is the guy. He has very sound mechanics. He looks very poised on the mound, really calm. He's not yanking his head. He's really balance, so I try to follow his mechanics and all.
So you grew up close to New York City. You grew up a Yankees fan then?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. So what was your first experience like? Did you ever get a chance to go to old Yankee Stadium?
Yes, I did when I was a little kid, and we were like in right field. I don't really remember the game, but it was fun. It was good.
Can you compare like the old Yankee Stadium to the new Yankee Stadium?
I have not gone to the new Yankee Stadium. I was gonna go in 2020 with my dad, but the games got kind of canceled, pushed back, so we never won.
Okay. So last question on just kind of growing up and heading out of high school. Who was a coach that really impacted how you were able to take your game to the next level?
I got a lot of coaches. I mean, you said coming out of high school?
Yeah, just growing up, like, was there someone that really helped push you along besides your dad that helped coach you throughout baseball?
I would definitely say my coach Piscataway for my Legion team, Coach Art. He really gave me a chance to just be me, play through errors, play through mistakes. And I think that's how people get better. It's not how good they do all the time. It's failure, adversity, learning. I'd also say from Seton Hall Prep, Coach Clark, my freshman coach, he did the same thing as well. He let me have the ability to be two-way, pitch and hit. I played in the Northwoods League. I would also say Coach Walker, he was kind of chill. It was a good like summer league. Like, he's relaxed, but like I said, he let me be me, and I struggled a little bit in the beginning. But another coach, I'm sorry, I'm going.
No, it's great.
Another coach would probably be definitely Coach O'Brien, Matt O'Brien. He's the one who got me into. He's probably my favorite coach of all time, and he's the one who really got me in, like, in my mechanics and learning how to pitch through adversity, learning how to set batters up. That's what I think got me to the next level as a pitcher, Coach O'Brien. He got me into the Northwoods League. So he's been a big guy. I always call him if I'm ever in any type of trouble as far as mentally with pitching and everything. And then a coach I used to have, I really feel like I'm talking too much about coaches, I'm sorry. Mike Sudovich, he's a hitting coach I used to have as a kid. And he's the same way, a guy I can always call and talk to. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. But
no, I mean, that's great that you have that fan base now as well, that you have all those coaches to be able to go back to.
Yeah.
Coming out of high school for you, what was the process like? You first went to University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Mm-hmm. What was that process like getting recruited out of high school to go play college ball?
I started a little late because, I mean, I didn't really get that much opportunity in my junior and senior year of high school. I went to Seton Hall Prep, so... I know my junior year, I pitched only one inning, and the score was like 20-1 or something like that. And I had 3 strikeouts, and I never pitched again. And then my senior year, I pitched a little bit. They tried to make me a closer. I hit a little, but I never really got a chance to really play in high school. So playing in the summer was my way of showing what I had. And Maryland Eastern Shore happened to be at one of the games, and they gave me an opportunity, and my family... We waited a little bit just to see other schools, but that was definitely a team that had the most interest and was the closest to home. My mom didn't want me to go all the way across the country, so. Yeah.
When you went off to Maryland Eastern Shore, what was your major that you took up there?
Biology. Well, my first major actually was criminal justice, and I had to change it to bio. I didn't know it was criminal justice. I didn't select it. It was weird. So, yeah, I changed it to bio.
What latches you onto bio, like as a player, or just is it what you enjoy? Do you enjoy the science side of things?
I mean, I like the science side of things. I just was always afraid of writing long, long essays and stuff like that. And I feel like bio was like a way out of it. Also, my mom is big into like medicine and the medical field. So that was something I wanted to pursue if baseball didn't work out. My grandfather was a dentist as well. So I didn't have like a pre-dental like track at that school at the time. They do now. So I just said bio is probably the next best thing. You know, you can go different avenues in the field of science and stuff. So.
What would be like if you, I mean, obviously baseball is your dream job, but what would be like your secondary dream job if you had to pick one in the field of science?
In the field of science? Oh, I was going to say something else. Field of science? I don't really know. I mean, I'd probably go more toward the medical field.
Okay.
Like maybe a dentist or like an optometrist or something. I think that's pretty, I mean, I don't know. I know it's probably hard to be an optometrist, but I go and get my eyes checked all the time. I wear contacts, and the guy goes, hey, does this look good? Does this look good? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, is that it? Like, it seems pretty easy. I'm not trying to disrespect the field, but I think I could do that.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, so what were you going to say? What would be your secondary dream job if it wasn't in the medical field?
I think you might know magic, probably.
Magic? Yeah. Okay. What do you do with magic? How did that come up in your life?
So I went on a cruise ship for my cousin's sweet 16.
Okay.
And like I was hanging out with my cousins like a little later, and there was this magician who came on board and he started doing magic tricks. He's like, come on. And I was like, I was one of those guys who was just like, I know magic is fake. And I know he's going to try to trick me. But I watched anyway, and he did some crazy stuff. Like he had like he pulled like a watermelon out of a hat, like this big, and the watermelon's like, it was crazy. And I mean, I know he was doing some kind of like gimmick or something. Maybe it was a hole in the table or something. I don't know. But I went home after that. I started watching a bunch of magic tricks. I started watching like David Blaine, David Copperfield, Dynamo, all those guys. And I just got obsessed with it. I went to school, started learning tricks in high school, and I went to a Catholic school, so they always try to like, I thought they were going to be a little like leery about it, like. I mean, that's kind of like demonic types. Like we don't.
Yeah.
But they accepted it. Like one of the priests was like, "Hey, come on, show some magic." I was like, "All right." I did some card tricks. I did like money tricks. It's pretty much card tricks. That's what I do.
Do you have like a favorite trick that you do? What's it called?
I feel like if I say the name, someone can look it up and they'll know how the trick is done.
Okay.
But I can describe it. So I can have a deck of cards. I can make you pick any card you want, and then. You can sign the card, whatever you want, and then I'll take the card, place it back in the deck, and I'll ask you to name a suit, any suit you want that's different than the one you picked, and then I can make all the cards turn into that suit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to get some magic here on Unlocking the Keys this year.
Yeah.
So you have the magic hobby. Is there anything else that you do off of the baseball field that you try to get your mind off of baseball with?
when I was younger, it used to be wrestling. I used to wrestle a lot. But I guess that's a sport, not really a hobby. But I don't know. I used to, like, when I was really young, I was probably, like, in third or fourth grade, I used to dance a lot.
Okay.
I don't do that anymore. Nah. But, yeah, I think I'm too cool for that.
So, moving on from University of Maryland Eastern Shore, you attended Felician and you became a graduate student. What was it like going through COVID and then transferring and being able to have that last year of eligibility?
Honestly, I would say it's probably one of the hardest things I had to go through. Even though it wasn't that bad, I just think it was a lot of pressure, especially not having, over the winter time, I didn't really have anyone looking at me as far as scouts and stuff. And I think transferring was like my biggest stepping stone to getting seen. At Felician, the coaches were great. Coach Javins, pitching coach, and Coach Langan really helped me get seen, communicating with people. But the transition was hard because you're coming to a new school. There's a lot of people who are already there, a lot of guys who are already starting pitchers, guys who can be jealous, guys can, you know, look at you like, who's this guy? So you got to prove yourself. And I feel like the constant feeling of trying to prove yourself puts way more pressure on you. So,
will you make another transition now into this MLB draft league and hopefully getting drafted? I mean, obviously, do you still have time left on your graduate degree, like credits left, or did you pretty much finish everything there?
Oh, no, I still have time left on my graduate. I mean, my bachelor's, I'm graduating.
Okay. So you move into the MLB draft league now. You still have the potential to go back to Felician if you wanted to. Obviously, you don't have NCAA eligibility anymore, correct?
Yeah, so my last year.
Baseball in college is done, so your focus now becomes Major League Baseball. So what was this process like for you to find out about the MLB Draft League, and then what was it like for you to come to Frederick and join this team?
I found out about the league from my previous school's coach.
Okay.
Maryland Eastern Shore, Coach Holloman. He told me about it. I didn't really know much about it, but I heard Major League Draft League. I'm like, hey, that doesn't sound like a bad thing, so I immediately tried to find people who can help me get into it. And that was pretty much my way of getting in. And then also my new school I transferred to, they had more information about it. I was able to get in, so, yeah.
What was it like, did your dad help you move down from, I'm assuming you were living at home at the time before you moved down here to Frederick this summer. What was the whole travel like for you? Was it pretty easy?
My dad was working. I had to drive myself down. I packed my stuff up. I definitely forgot a lot of stuff. My mom usually does the packing for me, just to make sure. But she gave me a bunch of stuff, like mask and stuff, but I drove myself down.
Cool.
Transition wasn't too bad. It's a long drive, like three and a half hours.
Have you kind of found like your places in Frederick that you like to go get lunch or like to go grab dinner after a game?
Yeah, there's a little center across the street from the hotel. They got like Chipotle, Noodles and Company, a bunch of different things I like. So
what's your go-to like fast food or like type of food like that?
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, definitely Buffalo Wild Wings. Other than that, if I'm late night, maybe McDonald's.
Okay.
I know a lot of people don't like McDonald's, but it's been there since I was a kid. It's never let me down. So.
If you were ranking fast food fries, would McDonald's be the top fries for you?
They used to be, but now I think the waffle fries from Chick-fil-A kind of take the.
All right. So, you're here in Frederick now, and you're able to get the ball in the first game in 633 days here at Nimmo Field. What was it like to know that you were going to be the first pitcher to throw in front of fans this season here at Nimmo Field? Was that exciting for you to open on opening night?
I was really excited, really amped up. I was nervous. I told my dad, I'm like, hey, I'm throwing. And he's like, what day? I just wanted to figure it out himself. Like, I didn't want to tell him, hey, I'm throwing the home opener. And he realized, he was like, oh, he tried not to say it because he didn't want me to get nervous. And I was like, yeah, I know. I'm a little nervous. But once you get out there, the nerves kind of go away.
What was your pregame routine like? Obviously, it was tough that day because there was a couple of times that the tarp came on the field before the game with some rain, and then it came off, and eventually the game did get rained out. But what was going through your head preparing for that game, and were you able to do your normal routine getting ready for it?
Actually my routine wasn't really altered in any way. I try to make sure I started just a little bit later just in case, because I knew the rain was coming, and I've started enough games to know like once the rain hits they're going to shut it down, especially if there's lightning, and now that's like time that you wasted or time that you used to warm up, you're going to get cold again. So I just said, let me just wait a little bit longer. So I started my pen a little later, than usual, but everything was good until the rain hit.
Well, you mentioned that you had a great start, 6 strikeouts through 2 innings, and you left the bases loaded. And that's now the second time that you left the bases stranded without allowing a run. Do you like to strike people out? Is that a big? Is that really the biggest part of your pitching game?
Yeah, I always look at it as like, hey, if I strike this guy out, he has no chance of really getting on. Like, he can't hit the ball. I don't have to rely on the defense, or I don't have to rely. I mean, I trust my defense for sure. I just don't want to leave it in someone else's hands. I want to be able to, especially in a big spot like that, bases loaded. Sometimes, like, I call it just tough pitching, where you got to man up and say, I'm getting this guy. And the biggest thing, I think, with me as far as walks, letting that get to that position with the bases loaded with walks, you know. So I got to trust the defense, and sometimes you just got to let the guys hit the ball. But I love striking guys out too. So
now in 2021, analytics are a big part of the game. And with pitchers, when it comes to RPMs on your fastball or how much break you have in your curveball, is that something you really focus on a lot? Or do you just kind of focus on the typical stats, win, losses, ERAs, that kind of thing?
Honestly, I started getting into spin rates. Obviously, I think everyone's into velo. Everyone's into how hard they throw. They'll tell you no, but you see the radar gun every game. They're there about the velo. I've used Rapsodo, and I've looked at some spin rates. After I saw how complicated it was and like the different ranges, I kind of just said, you know, let me just focus on pitching. As far as stats goes, like ERA, I know that's a big trap. I try not to look at that, because once you start looking at the ERA, you have a good game, you're like, all right, my ERA is here, or you have a bad game, you start saying, oh, how many games do I have to, or how many outs do I have to get to drop it down? And you start putting way more pressure on yourself. So I try not to look at any of the stats. I just try to just go out there and hope everything is going well as far as the stats, and just get guys out.
Well, come July, the MLB draft will be taking place with the All-Star game for the first time this season, and you have your opportunity to have your name called. Is there one team that you would really want to hear your name called by, or do you have you ever thought about that before? Like, I would really like to play for this team.
Ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to play for the Yankees. That's my favorite team. But now that I'm older, I know how things can be there. I know it's a little hard there. I don't want to get into that, but I like to be close to home, so maybe like the Phillies probably the Phillies or like the
Mets. Could you ever play for the Mets, being like a rival, like a crosstown rival of the Yankees?
Honestly, any team that you know, gives me a good opportunity, I'm going to take it. Regardless, it's Major League Baseball, the best players in the world, so I'll go anywhere. But the Mets, I don't really have a problem with the Mets yet.
Okay. If you were drafted by the Yankees, obviously they have their whole thing with facial hair. Would you be willing to lose the beard and everything?
That's a good question. I'll shave it off right now. But it will hurt a little bit after a while. Like, I see myself without a beard. I feel like I look like a little kid. People say I look like I'm 30.
Okay.
Or at least older than I look, than my age. I don't want to shave my beard off. I love it. Or my mustache, definitely. I don't think I've ever shaved my mustache.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Well, Dwayne Marshall joining us here for Unlocking the Keys, the fourth edition of the podcast this year. Dwayne, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Once again, thank you, Dwayne, for joining us here on Unlocking the Keys, the fourth episode in 2021. Episode 5 will be out in a couple of weeks. We'll have another player for you once the rosters turn over and some of the junior college players' temporary contracts are now over. We'll get some more Division I players as the College World Series begins to wrap up. Mike Rosenbaum is going to be joining us in a couple of episodes as well to talk about upcoming draft prospects. But for today's episode, that will do it. Don't forget to follow the Keys. You can follow us on Twitter, @FrederickKeys. You can search on Facebook, Frederick Keys, and on Instagram, once again, that handle, @FrederickKeys. And if you want to follow on TikTok, you can follow @FrederickKeysBaseball. That'll do it for this episode of Unlocking the Keys. We'll see you next time.